Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John writes to the church, which means he writes to us. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. Talk about talking in circles. If you love the Father, then you love the Father's children, and if you love the Father's children, you love the Father. Actually, John is not talking so much in circles as he is in crosses. Loving God cannot be separated from loving one another, and loving one another cannot be separated from loving God. But separating the two, one from the other, is just what we keep trying to do. Take Cain for an example. Cain said, "I love you, God," and he brought great offerings to God, even while he hated his brother Abel. Cain said, "I love you, God," even while he was murdering his brother Abel. Cain did not see any connection between love for God and love for his brother. And how many of us are just like Cain? We say that we love God, and yet we lack love for our neighbor. We say that we love our neighbor, and yet we have little love for God. Earlier in his letter, John talked about Cain, saying, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his neighbor, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen." It's not that God stopped loving Cain. God never stops loving Cain. God never stops loving you. But Cain did not love God. No matter what he said, no matter how outward his acts of piety were, Cain did not love God. Why? Because he did not love the one born of God, his brother. What John is addressing here is the pervasive temptation that is among us to oversimplify the faith. To oversimplify the faith is to think that it is either all about the vertical or all about the horizontal. It's either all about God and me, or it's all about my neighbor and me, one or the other. Here's the way I think the confusion shows up in everyday life. The person who lives and cares only for himself acts like a first-class jerk to others, even his own or her own spouse, and yet never misses church. And if you were to ask him or her, would say, "I love God." Thinks that true religion is only about the vertical. On the other hand, the one who thinks that it's all about being a good person, being fair and just and kind and generous, with no consideration at all to his relationship with God, thinks that true religion is purely horizontal. Both are tinged with sadness and disappointment because both miss the truth. Everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. Take Cain as your bad example. Take Jesus as your perfect example. It is his love for his Father that drives him to love you. The Father sent him into the world to love you by laying down his life for you. And in his love for his Father, Jesus loves you with the greatest love there is. To love his Father is to love you. To love you is to love his Father. There is no one without the other. True religion is both horizontal and vertical, not two separate loves, but all one love that is cross-shaped. So with all of this talk about love, and the first epistle of John, as we've been reading it through this season of Easter, you'll have noticed is full of love talk. I think that it's necessary then to talk about what love does and how love acts. Children of God is who we are. It is our being. Not because we chose to be a child. Being a child is not something that anyone gets to choose. We are who we are simply because we were born of the Father. Born of the Father in the waters of holy baptism. We know who we are. We are children of God. Now the question becomes, what shall we do because of who we are? And the answer is love. Love God and love one another. So the question that I think begs to be answered and at least addressed here is, so just what is love? What does it look like? How does it act? What does it do? Both the vertical love of God and the horizontal love of one another. This is the question that John both raises and answers for us in our epistle reading for this morning. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. I know that it may sound strange to try to connect love to commandments. How can you command love? Who can imagine someone saying, I command you to love one another? So what if instead of the word commandments, we substituted another equally legitimate word like instruction? For this is the love of God, that we keep his instruction, or that we follow his instructions for loving. I think that we would all agree that the world is very confused about what love is and how love acts. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about romantic love, brotherly love, or self-giving love. Some say this is love, and this is how it acts, and this is how it behaves. And others say, no, that's not love at all, because that's not how love acts or behaves. Everyone seems to agree that love is good and that we should love more than we do. What we can't seem to agree on is how love is supposed to behave, how it is supposed to act. St. John has nailed our problem. We are confused about love because we ignore his commandments. We ignore his instruction. Love needs instruction. Love does not come naturally to fallen sinners, and we are all fallen sinners. We need instruction on how to love. And we need it from God because God is love. He wrote the book on love, and it is the Bible. All true love comes from God and acts according to his instruction. Apart from God's instruction, all love is not really love at all. Apart from his instruction, all so-called love is only sin. So how then do we respond when we hear, if these two men truly love each other and want to be married, how can we deny them? If these two women love each other and want to be married, how is that any different than when a man and a woman love each other and want to be married? We say, this cannot be love, because it is acting contrary to God's instruction. Love needs instruction. Another example of just how confused about how love acts is even more pervasive among us. A man and a woman love each other, but they are not interested in marriage at all. And so they live together and share the bed and insist, what can be wrong with that? After all, we love each other. But the answer is the same. This is not love. Can't be, because it acts contrary to God's instruction. Love needs instruction. And the thing here is, everyone seems to agree that love needs instruction. What we can't agree on is where the instruction should come from. Can we begin to see how far we have fallen from God when we consider that now we are depending upon the civil courts of our land to give us that instruction as to how love should act instead of God? Both sides of the question are holding their breath, hoping that we get the final, definitive instruction that we all agree we need from the Supreme Court. Whether the Supreme Court rules in favor of traditional marriage or against it isn't going to solve the problem one bit. The fact that man is writing his own instructions and ignoring God's instructions shows how far we have all fallen. Jesus summarized the commandments like this: love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. The commandments are what love does. Love in the vertical, love in the horizontal. In our gospel reading this morning, we heard Jesus speak to his disciples, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. This is not a conditional sentence. He is not saying, if you want my love, you've got to keep my commandments. This is what love is. And this is how love acts. If you keep my commandments, you will be abiding in my love. So last Sunday we said that we need to know the creeds better than we do, so that we can identify the truth about Jesus from the lie. Now today, we are being directed to the Ten Commandments. We need to get to know them intimately so that we can identify the truth about love from the lie. Luther's explanations in his small catechism here are so helpful and precious. He begins each one just as we did this morning. We should fear and love God. And then he maps out how we do love God and how we don't love God, how we do love our neighbor, and how we don't love our neighbor. We are all fallen and sinful people who live in a fallen and sinful world, and we will all always want to define and interpret things according to our own fallen and sinful desires. Love needs instruction. And the thing here is, the instruction, that is, his commandments, are actually very good, despite all the opinions to the contrary. John writes, his commandments are not burdensome, which is just a negative way of saying the very positive thing. His instructions are a delight. Life lived according to God's commandments is very good. Sometimes it may seem as though we children of God are going to get swallowed up and devoured by the world in its distorted sense of love. But despite all the appearances to the contrary, we are the ones who are in the end going to enjoy the victory. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The victory that overcomes the world does not lie in the hands of the courts or the politicians or the media. The outcome lies with God, who has already won the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God has triumphed on Easter Sunday, and the victory will be fully realized on the last day when everyone will see the love of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Until then, Jesus comes to us in love for his Father to love you with his body and his blood, hidden under bread and wine, for the forgiveness of your sin, which empowers you to love the more. For the strengthening of your faith that empowers you to overcome the world. Until that final day comes, things are going to get messier and messier. But in faith, the child of God fixes his eyes on God's instructions more and more, because love needs instruction. Amen.